Welcome to the Daily Path Podcast, where it's all about building an authentic life and business. I'm your host, Joe Winters Jr., and now for today's message. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Daily Path Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Winters Jr., and today I'm joined by D. Grant Smith, who is the founder of Growth Farming, where he helps individuals experience more personal and spiritual growth. After 22 years in radio broadcasting, he has spent the past 9 years working with people in personal growth. And then a sudden, unexpected divorce in 2017 led to a spiritual awakening that changed the game for him again and led him into understanding the power of love on a new level, leading him to what he does now. D. Grant, welcome to the podcast.
Joe, so excited to be here, man.
So today I would like to talk to you about how you help your clients experience more personal and spiritual growth, your process for signing new clients into your business, and how you got to where you are today. So I would like to start with your experience in broadcasting. Between 2003 and 2019, you hosted a radio show where you featured music from new and emerging artists, as well as established ones with tracks not commercially aired. What inspired you to get into broadcasting and take the approach you did?
Wow. I think most of us, when we're kids, we have dreams about things that we're not necessarily sure where that's going to go into. I remember being in, like, I don't know, maybe middle school, in the mid-90s. And I would go to sleep at night listening to my Walkman. Now, I'm aging myself right there with just that one statement. But I go to sleep listening to my Walkman, listening to the radio, and I would hear the music play, and I'd be, you know, kind of singing along, sort of trying to wind down. But I would imagine myself as though I was David Letterman. That also ages me quite a bit, because some of you guys are like, who the heck is that? But I think Jimmy Kimmel or somebody like that. But I would imagine myself as though I had like this late night talk show, and that I was interviewing the musicians that I loved listening to on the radio. And what I was really doing, though, was I was planting these seeds in my mind about something that I really wanted to experience. And fast forward in time, probably 3 or 4 years, maybe, I got an opportunity to work at a radio station when I was still in high school. And I followed that up with moving up here to Abilene and starting work at a NPR affiliated radio station that only hired college students. But because I had experience, and I actually had more experience than some of the students that were there, they hired me right away without making me go through the regular protocols. But where I got the idea for the show, I've always listened to things that have been off the beaten path. I used to be really into like the underground punk rock movement in the early or mid 90s, late 90s, and alternative rock and all kinds of stuff. Well, when I would tune on the radio on occasion, there was no independent music at all. This is in the early 2000s. This is way before the days of Apple Music, Spotify, Pandora, all that stuff. Nobody had a grid for that. Facebook didn't even exist yet. And so I had this idea. I've always been a metaphoric person, so I use this now with storytelling. But at the time, I was like, what if I gave people like a little appetizer about these different kinds of music that they could listen to? Like different styles and different genres and different artists. And I give them like a little sampling so that they could decide for themselves what they wanted to listen to instead of being spoon-fed the same 7 songs over and over again all day, every day. Well, I pitched that idea to my boss, and it turns out we had a hole in the schedule. So he needed a place to put a new show that didn't cost anything. And so I got a free spot and my show got airplay. Well, from there, I started incorporating more and more of the music that I enjoyed listening to. It was totally a selfish act on my part. But as time went on and I love connecting with people, I started reaching out to people via MySpace. Again, this is way before Facebook even existed, but I started building relationships with artists and saying like, hey, would you be willing to send me your music? I'd love to play it on my show. I know you've never heard of my show. I'm on this little town, this little station, blah, 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 blah. Well, they totally acquiesced, and I ended up having these great interviews with awesome people, and they would send me their music. Well, then that turned into other people started noticing in my own town, and I built like this really big following in my town. And then that turned into some people. There's a guy from the Dallas Morning News, Michael Granberry. was driving through. This was in 2008, so 5 years had gone by. He's driving through Abilene, coming back from a tennis tournament from his for his son. Listens, happens to tune in, listens to my show. Here's one of my friends that I'm playing on the show. Gets back to his home, looks her up online, contacts her, does an interview with her, does this whole feature for her on for the Dallas Morning News. And she messaged me and she's like, "Who do you know with the Dallas Morning News?" And I was like, "I don't know anybody." She's like, "Well, somebody just did a whole feature report for me. You need to reach out to this guy. Here's his contact info." So I called him and he was like, "How come I can't hear you in Dallas?" I was like, "Because I'm in Abilene, dude." And he's like, "We need to figure out how to get to Dallas." Well, then that began my process of I read Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People because I didn't have 30 grand to spend on a marketing agency. So I thought I'll do things the old-fashioned way. And turns out, by the way, guys, you want to instantly make rock star connections with people? Do things that Dale Carnegie did in 1933 because nobody is doing that now. And you'll instantly be the favorite amongst everybody that you reach out and contact. But I built relationships with radio stations, and that's how I became a syndicated radio show host. And by the time it was all said and done, I was on 60 something stations around the world, most of them domestic. But all of that process, I learned how to build relationships with people, and I learned how to teach artists and musicians how to build relationships within the industry. And I became known for a little while as the relationship guy inside the independent music world. So there's enough of a backstory in terms of how all that stuff came into being.
What would you say was the, or is the number one lesson you've learned from your experience in radio?
Number one lesson. Well, I think there's two sides to that, because there's the working in radio and doing the radio stuff side of things, and then there's the work that I did with the show that I was on and the different things that I did when I was at the radio station, which were two different entities. But working as a host, as a speaker, as a personality talent on the radio. Number one thing I learned was from a lady named Valerie Geller. She's an Australian woman. She wrote this incredible book. Here we go. I keep this on me. Her book was called Creating Powerful Radio, but I keep this little note card thing. So she one of the things that she talks about that she's a huge advocate for. The reason I keep this and I still use this in everything that I do. She said, when you are speaking on the radio, you might be speaking to an audience of 500 people or 5,000 people or 50,000 people or 5 million. It doesn't matter how many people are in your audience. You're really talking to one person. And when you will put your energy and your focus on, you are speaking to one person and you're not the expert. You're the friend communicating something of vital information to this person that you want them to know and you want them to believe in and you want them to see from your perspective. And you want them to know that you're along with them for the ride. You've just made an instant fan because you go from being somebody that is this celebrity or somebody that they can't touch to being somebody that is their friend. And it reminds me of the story that I heard, slight tangent here, but Steve Harvey was having dinner one evening with Denzel Washington. And they were at this they're out outside at this restaurant, and these three guys come up to the table, and they're trying to kind of compose themselves, but they're kind of geeking out about the fandom of Denzel Washington. So they're like, Mr. Denzel, can we get an autograph with you, man? Like, we're so honored to see you." And Denzel's like, "Yeah, sure, man." So he takes a piece of paper, signs autograph, whatever. And then they look over and they see Steve Harvey, and they're like, "Steve, dude, Steve, oh man, imagine running into you here. Oh, wow, it's so good to see you, Steve." That and they're like, they're totally different energy. So the guys go off, and Denzel looks at Steve, and he goes, "You and I might both be on television. We might both be known internationally by every single person on earth, but they're always going to treat me differently than they treat you. To them, I'm this untouchable person because I'm on in the movies. But to you, or but about you, you're a part of their lives. You're like a part of the family. That's why it's like, hey, Steve, you're like a brother, man. How, imagine running into you here, but they see me and they get all nervous. And that's the difference. That's the difference between the way that you communicate if you're trying to speak to this audience of zillions of people versus speaking to one person and being their friend. And it creates a completely different energetic experience for the person that's receiving that.
Fascinating. Thank you for sharing that lesson. So in 2017, you had an unexpected divorce that led you to a spiritual awakening. Walk us through how you felt and how it led you to begin helping others experience personal and spiritual growth.
Actually, to be very blunt and honest, my former partner and I have reconnected. We did that in 2021. Actually, this week, she started a podcast at the start of the year. Is that right? No, she started airing it in February. No, she started airing our stuff in February. So I'm a guest on her podcast. We sat down on my birthday last year and did the interview. And so she broke it up into three parts, but her podcast is called Shall We Unpack This? And we have unpacked our divorce. We've unpacked our marriage. And the next episode that comes out this Thursday is going to be unpacking our reconciliation. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity now to share the fullness of the story, because going back to 2017, like, that was a really, really hard year. One of the hardest experiences of my life. And it broke me in a lot of ways, but at the same time, it also created a rebirth that needed to happen. Like, the person you're talking with right now didn't exist in 2017. I didn't have the confidence and have the poise and have the self-concept. I was very insecure, very codependent. So what happened in 2017, and I'm seeing everything more clearly now, but the writing had been on the wall for a little while, but I wasn't willing to look at it. But all the same, I've been married for almost a dozen years, and she decided she was done and she left. And that just shattered my world in every way, shape, and form. And because my identity was attached to being married and being married to that person. And so not having that made me feel like I didn't matter, like I was worthless. And so I had an experience where I just felt like I was at, like, not rock bottom, but like 20 stories below that. And in that moment of just utter brokenness, I heard the still small voice whisper to me, "You don't know what love really is, and you don't know how to love yourself, and this is the true cause of all of your pain." Well, that was my awakening, feeling and experiencing God in a way that I never experienced before. So I became a student of what is love. Apparently, I don't know what love is, so I need to unlearn some of these things that I've believed that love is and relearn it. And so I started reading a bunch of stuff. I started learning from different people. I started kind of just getting out of the headspace that I'd been in for a long time. And also began to really get to know myself and understand what self-love was. And I recognized there was a long period of time, especially growing up in the parts of the country that I grew up in, where self-love was categorized as though it was like narcissism. And I had a conversation with a member of my family recently who said, you know, I don't want to love myself too much because I don't want to be a narcissist. And I was like, but they're totally different things. But when he said that, I was like, oh, this is why I was so afraid of self-love and why I was so opposed to that idea, because I thought it was evil. And I think in certain religious communities and certain other, like, you know, societal cultures in our country, like, certain things can get a really bad rap,
right,
that are actually good for us. So I've learned the hard way, the most important person in the world for me to love, and I'm a humongously big-hearted person. Right, Tig? So you hear a chirpy sound in the background. That's my little cat son. I'm a super big-hearted person, and I've always just given love to other people first. But I've learned that the most important person in the world for me to love is myself, because I am the one person that I can't live without in every way, shape, and form, psychologically, biologically, spiritually, you name it. Like, it's the truth.
Right.
But when we don't recognize that we've been conditioned to be very codependent in our culture and our society, and put ourselves in last place, then it explains why mental health is one of the, you know, gigantic issues that we have in our society and in our world. So I don't know if I answered your question all the way, but that's kind of where that's where my process began.
Thank you for sharing that. And so now you're operating your online platform, Growth Farming, where you help your members and clients experience personal and spiritual growth. Like, your process that you use, or the way that you support your members and clients, does this come more from, you know, personal experience where, you know, you felt like you were 20 stories below rock bottom, and then you built yourself back up? Does this come more from, I don't know, your, you know, educational background, maybe coaching programs you've been in? I know you're a avid reader. You read. Like, share with us a little bit, I guess, about, you know, how you've come to the skills and ways that you support your members and clients.
Well, let's just, before we do that, let's define what things are. So I just described healing from heartbreak, and then we start talking about growth farming. Okay, well, what is growth farming? What does it even mean? So when I began this process of learning what love is and learning how to love myself, again, thinking about things in metaphoric terms, I saw my heart as a garden and my mind as a garden, and realized that, oh, I've been telling myself a lot of really debilitating negative stories about myself my entire life. And a lot of that came from, you know, being, I think most of us can identify with being bullied at some point in time.
Absolutely.
And so when we've been bullied, sorry, bud, you want to say hello? Cause this is what you do. You're interrupting the show, but this is Tigger. Tigger's a superhero. Tigwick is a superhero name. All right, buddy. Now you've made your point. Sorry, he does that. For those of us that have been bullied or picked on or belittled or, you know, treated as less than, we can create stories that we tell ourselves about who we are. It's part of our self-concept. And so then our inner dialogue ends up becoming this thing where we're beating ourselves up for the slightest little thing. Or we're constantly ragging on ourselves. Or we're, you know, telling ourselves, well, yeah, you know, good things don't ever happen to me. I always get, you know, low end of the stick, or whatever the case may be. And because that's inner dialogue, and because that's all going on in your mind, you're creating that. So I created all kinds of terrible things in my life through my own thought processes and through my own feeling states, negative feeling states. So by treating my heart and my mind like a garden, and me being the master gardener of myself, going in and addressing those limiting beliefs and those, you know, energetic frequencies that are not serving my highest good, and doing the tilling in my own inner garden and replacing that and planting seeds of love and understanding, okay, what is, like, for instance, I did a deep dive into different aspects and elements of love, one of them being kindness.
Okay.
So from a biblical standpoint, 1 Corinthians 13, number one ingredient, patience. Everything in life requires patience. Doesn't matter what it is. And also, patience is not about waiting around. Patience is about being fully present with yourself and in a state of peace, regardless of what is going on, and having the presence to prepare for what it is that you want, but also having the overall just like coolness, you know, to be fully present in the moment and not demand anything or try to be in control of things. But kindness is something that's very different than what a lot of people think that kindness is. And for me, as a guy that used to be very nice to everybody all the time, the nice guys finish last thing has been totally true in my life. Because for me, when I was nice, I was being very needy. I would do nice things for other people, but I wanted them to do something nice in return. Like I needed that, almost like a drug hit. But I learned that kindness doesn't operate that way, which is why kindness is part of love, but nice isn't. And so with these different things, like what I do when I'm working with people and people that are in my community, we're all big-hearted. Most of us, all empathic and highly sensitive people. We see and perceive and feel the world differently on a heightened level. And understanding how to continuously plant, and I can't see, I'm pointing in my heart, the microphone's in the way, but continually planting that love inside my heart and planting that love inside my mind and being committed to this process of every single day, just like a farmer does in their garden or with their farm, going out and watering in the morning, watering in the evening, tilling the soil, making sure that if anything pops up that is not something that's wanted, that it's taken care of. Learning different, you know, processes and tools to continue in this process of continual cultivation and growth. So that's what growth farming is. It is about recognizing that everything that we are doing to change our lives is all an internal process. And so I use storytelling. Like you've heard me share some stories, but I write fictional narratives and storytelling that convey very deep spiritual and personal growth truths inside of a story. So even if you're just reading it or listening to it, because I do audiobooks too, for the entertainment factor, you're going to get a great entertaining story. But if you have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, it's going to revolutionize your life in a variety of ways, because it digs deeper into stuff that has everything to do with what your inner spirit wants to communicate with you. And it's going to do that in a way that that goes beyond just something that I might say, like, you know, five steps to, you know, improve your life or whatever. But inside a story, it's going to hit you in a different way. And so that's what I do. That's what I use growth farming for in the work that I do with people in personal and spiritual growth.
That certainly makes sense. So it sounds like you, if I'm hearing you correctly, more so making use of storytelling to connect with those you lead. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Definitely. So I see, you know, on your website that you have private coaching programs that are more high ticket. And then you also have membership programs that includes courses and group coaching. And with you being a heart-centered leader, I'm aware that, you know, how you market and how you attract clients may be different than the traditional way of marketing and selling. Does your strategy for how you get private coaching clients, with it being, you know, more high ticket, does that differ from how you get members in your membership?
Yeah, because membership's a little bit different. So, and there's a couple different membership tiers. So I've got courses that do deep dives into love. Right. I've studied a lot of people, and I'm teaching stuff that you could probably find a course that teaches some of this stuff, but you're going to have to search for it for a long time. And it's probably going to be a lot more expensive. So I've got the courses and I've got the books and I've got workshops and other stuff. And I package all that stuff together for a pretty low ticket offering, $25 a month. I mean, it's less than a gym membership and you get, you know, 10 times that much value. But then the next set is, you know, inside our group coaching, stuff that we do on a weekly basis is really, it's a safe space for people that are like us. And I say people that are like us, like if you're a big-hearted person and you feel things on a deep level, like you're the way that you go through experiences that you have in your relationships, experiences that you have within your job and work environment. The ways that you are trying to figure out how to level up in your life is going to be a different sort of thing than people that are spend a lot of time in their heads trying to figure it all out from like a technical standpoint. Right. Sorry. Hey, you're more in the way now than you've ever been. Silly guy. Sorry about that. I apologize. He has not been this vocal. Is it Joe? You really like Joe? Silly guy. With the group coaching stuff, the ways that I grow that more, it's more of an invitation only, and it's priced that way. So a stranger that comes to my site, or somebody that even has a little bit of experience with me, they're going to look at the ticket tiers and go, Oh, I don't know if I want to do that yet. Well, good. I want you to have that thought.
Mm.
I want us to engage with some interaction and some conversation, and there to be more of a process and a dialogue where it's like, okay, well, tell me more about this. And I get a good feel for you to see whether or not your energy matches. Because if
That
your
makes sense.
energy doesn't match, it's not going to be a good fit.
Right.
And that's all intentional. Same thing with coaching, because I can, there's people that I have worked with that I knew I could help, but once we started having conversations, I was like, I'm not the right fit for this person. And I don't want anybody to waste their time. And I certainly don't want to waste my time working with somebody that we're just not really in alignment with each other. And it's not a good energetic fit.
For the coach that's listening, especially for new coaches, right? For the coaches that are listening, or those that are getting into coaching, how do you discern from, I know I have the skills to help you, but I'm not the right fit for you.
For me, it's an intuitive realization. I think another way that you can look at things is know what your, this comes back to know yourself. So, and this is all a part of this self-love journey, but like your relationship with yourself is the most crucial and important relationship there is. And also, you are the one person you can know to a T. Like
Right.
you can have all kinds of conversations with your significant other and still not know all the things about them because you don't get to see inside their mind and you don't get to see inside their heart, but you get to see inside your own,
Right.
even on a subconscious level. So in having a conversation with somebody, for instance, I'm so sorry, man. In having a conversation with somebody, if you find that you are asking a question, or they're asking you a question and you're in the process of responding, and every four words or every two sentences, they're interjecting and interrupting you, and you don't ever get to finish a thought. That might be a sign to you that either you're not a good fit or they're not a coachable person, because this is a preview of what your sessions are going to look like. And it's really hard, if not, I don't want to say impossible because I don't believe in that word. But it's really, really hard slash challenging to try to serve somebody that won't let you.
Absolutely. I agree 1,000%. Oh man. In my experience, I've certainly come across some of those types of clients, and well, I say clients meaning like early days I took them on, here as of late, potential clients, because once I realized they weren't coachable or I wasn't a good fit for them, because sometimes it is that I'm not a good fit and it's not that they're not coachable, right? And having to make the decision to walk away. But I wholeheartedly agree. It's very hard to serve someone that won't let you serve them. For someone who is just starting out and they're looking for ideas on how to get their first high ticket client, do you mind sharing how you signed your first high ticket coaching client?
I gotta think about that for a second. Well, it was a spiritual practice, to be honest. I at first it was, and at first it made me really nervous because I had spent so this goes back to the inner conversations we had. Come here, you little hoser. You want to be on TV so bad? Okay. You're going to sit here. We're going to do this interview together, okay? As though you were a part of the process. When I did my first high ticket coaching program was when I'd written my Be Solid book, and I was releasing that along with, I was re releasing the book and the program at the same time. And so what the program did, and it's still available, but it walks people through I think it's a 10-week or 12-week process of doing a deep dive exploration into key aspects of love. Kindness is one of them. Forgiveness is another one. Treating yourself as your own best friend and your own true love, another part of it. But what I was doing was I was, working with people in a one-on-one capacity, but I also had them go through this process of watching these videos and doing this, deep dive stuff. And I priced it at $5,000. For me, that was high ticket at the time because I had spent my coaching career talking with people about building relationships, hearing that they wanted to work with me, knowing that they had worked with other coaches that charged like 10 times or more what I was charging, but I was telling myself this story in my head that they were going to say, oh, I can't afford you. Oh, I can't afford you. Well, guess what would happen? I would be having these great conversations, discovery sessions, whatever you want to call it, with these people. They're telling me, like, yeah, this is exactly what I need. Okay, well, how much does it cost? And I would throw out this minuscule, tiny little number. What would they spit back out at me? Oh, I don't know if I can afford that. I created that story. It wasn't them. They were just repeating back to me what I'd already told myself over and over and over again. And so the way that you sell yourself and the way that you sell anything are the same story. I think instead of getting into the minutia of what were the tactics, what did I do? Like, what process did I have? What was my marketing strategy? How did I negotiate things? How did I do all that stuff? None of that matters. I could tell you a version and that might work for you, might not, doesn't matter. What matters is what's the story you're telling yourself about A, the difference that you're making in other people's lives. B, what's the story that you're telling yourself about how people respond to you when you talk with them?
Yeah.
Because if you tell yourself a story and you practice this, we have to practice our imagination. Yeah. It's not just something that we do when we, you know, have some free time and want to just kind of goof off or whatever, right, or just, you know, be in la la land. No, discipline yourself to practice using your imagination in constructive ways and do it on a regular basis.
Yeah.
One of the things I do, this is work that I do with my clients. I imagine them telling me about the effects that my work has been in their lives. And I'm experiencing that because our imaginations create. So what's the best thing you can do if you've got a high, you're a new coach and you're getting into the coaching space and you've got a high ticket program you want to market and sell, be really clear on what is the transformational story that you are leading people on. And then imagine somebody telling you, I am so thankful that I signed on the dotted line to work with you because you have changed my life. I'm not asking you to imagine that they say yes to your offer. That's not it. You skip all that part and you go to the end where they're already working with you. And you feel their excitement. You feel their gratitude and you feel their joy because you have changed their life.
Yeah.
Get into that place. Practice feeling that way. Confidence and making offers and all that stuff is not going to be a problem for you at all. Actually, well, here's something I've discovered too. The more heart-centered I am and less mind-centered I am, I don't even have to make offers anymore. That's something to really get your heart around.
Yeah.
Because unless you're a super savvy salesperson and you just love the selling process, like it gets you all excited to like sell somebody on something, there's people that are like that. That's not really my thing. I would much rather work with somebody and just the sales thing be like, okay, dude, how much money do I give you to work with you?
Right, right.
I say a number and they say, okay, cool. How do you want me to give it to you? You want a check? You want me to, wire it to you? You want to, you got a link or something? What is the deal? And there's no qualms about it at all.
Yeah, right.
So that the money's not an option. It's not an obstacle.
Right.
Us, we just get to do what it is. We get to make magic together.
Yeah.
Get into that mindset and then it becomes that way. One of the clients I signed up a month and a half or so ago, we never talked about offers. I told him what it was that I did in a conversation. And he was like, well, go back. How can I work with you on that? That's exactly what I need. I was like, oh, okay. Well, this is what we do. And this is how much it costs. And he goes, okay, cool. How can I pay you?
Yeah. You know, thank you for sharing, because it sounds like what I'm hearing you say is that, number one, what we think and how we feel when we show up in conversations matters the most, which I am a firm believer in that. As far as what you did from what I'm hearing, it sounds like you simply had discovery calls or conversations, whatever you want to call them, in which you were open to really knowing the person across from you and if you could positively impact that person that was across from you. And in the beginning, when you had the mindset of like, well, they're going to tell me that it's too expensive. Well, that was the result you were getting. And then nothing about your process changed except one thing. And that was you changing the story you told yourself. And then you started getting a different result using the exact technical process, right? Having conversations, discovery calls. But now you're very aware of, the impact that you can make. And you're telling yourself that. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yeah. And let me take it one step further than that, because this has made a humongous difference too. When I used to set up discovery calls, I had an agenda. had an, you can call it an intention, but I wasn't even that pure with my thoughts. I wanted to sell somebody my program because it was about how can I grow my business? Yes, I wanted to serve them, but mostly it was about how can I make money and put food on the table?
Right, right.
Well, that's a desperate energy and people can feel that even if they can't discern it. So what I've shifted into, and again, this is a consciousness thing. I don't think about how can I make money. I don't worry about that. God is my source. What I do is, can I make a new friend? What can I learn from this person? Maybe we'll have a cool conversation. I'm excited about getting to meet this person, have a conversation and talk. I don't have any agenda. If the opportunity is there for me to serve them, it will present itself bright and clear. I don't have to do any work with that either. If there's not an opportunity there, then I made a new friend. And who doesn't want to make a new friend?
Right.
And if we get into a place where we've introduced each other, we have zero in common, and I have never experienced that before. But if we are having dialogue and I'm asking questions and they're asking me questions and we're having a good banter and nothing business-wise comes out of that, okay, cool. Well, I'm cognizant of my time. I spent 15, 20 minutes. I had a great conversation. I met a new person. This is somebody that I want to have another conversation with because it blessed me to talk with them. Awesome. Oh, wait, they do something that's not really what I do, or they're not really my ideal client, but they know some people that might be. And the fact that I engage with them in this way and I didn't approach them as somebody that I was trying to sell something to, they instantly like me. And I can have another conversation with them. They can plug me into their network. And now opportunities for me to do even better stuff are now suddenly present. I think if we take the agenda off the table and we take this idea of set up a discovery call with me today so I can show you about my program, let that crap go. Set the intention of connecting with another human soul because you want to and see what energy takes place with that exchange.
Definitely. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing your perspective and your practices and how things have shifted for you and has helped you grow as a heart-centered leader, as a business person. It really is enlightening. Before we go, I want to ask you, if there was a principle or practice that you weren't able to share today and would like to share, what would it be?
Okay, this is something I'm growing in. Get really good at asking questions. And get good at asking questions, not because you want to know the answer, but because you want to get really good at asking better questions. I'm learning that all of life is an exploration. And so much of what I used to think was the purpose of asking questions about myself and about other people was to try to get an answer. But in my spiritual journey and in my personal growth journey and in business, I'm learning that it's really about getting into the question behind the question, or what I talk about all the time. I call it the story behind the story. So here's a project that came out of a collaboration we haven't officially quote unquote started. We've got a pilot episode that, and I'm happy to share it with you, Joe, to get your perspective on it, if you're open to it. We're going to probably start it in a couple weeks or whatever, but my friend Heidi Mark is she's a coach. She's the gentle rebel is her coaching banner, but she's a heart-centered person too. But she's got a rebelliousness about her, but not in this like, you know, violent sort of way, but more in this like very, you know, gentle, soft-spoken sort of way for those of us that are, you know, more empathic and empathetic and gentle people. But she's a brilliant, incredibly empowering leader. And I had this idea, from the first conversation we had together, I wanted to do some sort of collaboration with her. And I had this idea and I presented it to her and she's like, you could do this by yourself. Why do you want to do it with me? I'm like, because you're you. Let's do this together. But here's what the show is. It's called the Hero, Hero Story Garden. Sorry, I was like, why am I blanking out on this? It's my own thing. It's called the Hero Story Garden. Here's what we do. We do deep dives into superhero movies to unearth the life lessons that are contained in them. It's deep dive exploration stuff. And what I'm learning from this is the more I ask questions about the things that I'm taking in, whether that's watching a movie or listening to a podcast or doing conversations, the more that I get better at asking better questions, I'm able to actually learn so much more about myself and then learn so much more about other people. And that helps me grow in every capacity. So instead of looking for one answer, I'm not looking for an answer. I just get to be really curious. Isn't that what little kids do? They just ask a zillion questions and you can give them the answer, but they're not really paying attention to that. They're like, okay, well, what else can I explore?
Right.
And I think the more that we can return back to this like childlike nature of just being really curious about things, then the more exciting life gets to be and the more enlightened we get to experience everything on a daily basis.
Yeah. Get better at asking questions. I like it. I love it. D. Grant, thank you for joining me on the show today.
Dude, thank you for blessing me with another fantastic conversation. You're an incredible host, Joe, and a fantastic human being. And man, I just got all the love for you, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you. And to my listeners, I really hope you take something from today's podcast episode. We covered a lot. I hope you implement something in your daily path. Until next time, have a blessed day. Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Daily Path Podcast. If you would like to launch your own podcast show to expand your reach, grow your network, and sign more premium clients for your business, visit dailypathacademy.com to learn how we can help you launch an impactful podcast that changes lives around the world and acquires high-ticket clients for your business. That's dailypathacademy.com.